My Music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. Your chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Why should I conceal the truth any longer? Our contestants in My Music are John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. And the hand that grasps the score sheet is that of Leonie Lawson. The stage on which we're lined up for inspection is that of the Bloomsbury Theatre, Gordon Street, London, West Central. But musically, we're ranging farther afield. So it's some national airs of one kind or another that occupy us in this first round. John, what, in its 1600 form, was this?
You mean that wasn't it 1600 form?
That was a 2 litre.
That was it. It was about the Mark II by then, I think, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
And it was, of course.
I've no idea.
Don't you know? Oh, anybody in the audience recognise the tune? Yes, Green Sleeves it was. Cool, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Well,
yeah.
Frank, this is the same basic tune for you, but whence came this version?
Since laws were made for everything greedy to curb vice in others as well as me, I wonder we had better company upon tyrant fee. But gold from law can take out the sting, and if rich men like us were to swing, 'twould feed the land such numbers to string upon tyrant fee.
Where would I find that version?
It was a bit nearer the tune, wasn't it?
Yes, it's
not there yet.
Nearer to our day.
It's moving.
Paul Elliott, the singer, in an aria, a song from... Well, we are not making...
Beggar's Opera.
Thank you very much, yes, the Beggar's Opera, the song about Tyburn Tree, yeah. Ian, national airs, I said. Here's a national voice, though. Who is he, and for good measure, what is he singing?
How beautiful they are.
Was it?
And in a minute he's going to sing, and they are terrible.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It's the Welsh tenor Stuart Burrows.
That's right, and it's the...
one of those unmistakable voices.
The fairy song from...
From the Immortal Hour.
By Rutland Boughton, yes. The song, as you said, the song about the spirits who laugh and are glad and are terrible. I prefer the version by a little girl called Bean of Guildford, who came back from school singing, "They laugh and are glad and are horrible." Dennis. Dennis, why should that tune make me think of linked arms at Blackpool and other resorts and blonde children round a Christmas tree?
Well, it's... The red flag in one version, right. You'll think of a Labour Party conference, the working class, you know, that.
That's right. And people linking arms and pretending they know the words.
That's right. I think the only fun in those party conferences when they're on television is watching the people sitting like two rows behind the table speaking, yeah, and see if you can pick, just get somebody yawning or picking his nose. One of the lordly ones. But the other version is I think there's a German song called O Tannenbaum.
Der Tannenbaum, yes. Also that version, the jazz version called Maryland, My Maryland.
Yeah, it's a state song, isn't it?
Yes. Back to the 19th century, to long, leisurely evenings and music round the fireside.
Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Oh, for the sunshine tomorrow, after the shower is gone.
It's Robert White reminding us of Whispering Hope. Anyway, the subject is soirees. Sort of joint question first for John and Frank. Frank, you first, Frank. This is from a 19th century diary. I quote, Miss Ritchie played Beethoven's Aurora Sonata. T said, I perceive a rushing as of a torrent and flashes of light. Miss R replied, it's like you're out of the deep. Who was T, Frank?
Composer?
No.
Oh. There goes Tchaikovsky. There goes your banker. Your banker there.
Out of the deep, my child, out of the deep, de profundis.
Out of the deep. No, it's not Tilde, Oscar Tilde.
No, it's not Oscar Wilde. No, it's an earlier de profundis. I have to tell you, T was Tennyson.
Oh, yes.
Tennyson who wrote Out of the Deep. Anyway, you haven't got a mark. John, what do we now call the Aurora Sonata?
Northern Lights.
We call it what we... we call it what we always did.
Yes. Yes, but we don't call it the Aurora. We call it...
A sonata in C major. Beethoven.
But
known as the Waldstein.
The Waldstein. Thank you, that's what I was after. Ian, a hellishly difficult question. Are you prepared?
You're not going to terrorise my lad.
Well,
I'll get the judge changed after this case. Yeah.
Ian, this comes from the same highly entertaining Victorian diarist, William Allingham. He wrote in 1885 about a show he'd seen. He wrote, to the theatre, pretty dresses, music skillful, harmonious and agreeable, but not an atom of melodic invention. Yum yum phrase, old and familiar. Which opera?
Well, presumably.
How could he?
How could he say there was no melodic invention?
It's marvellous, isn't it? No melodic invention. Not an atom.
Particularly as if he's referring to the son whose rays, the yum yum aria.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Extraordinary. The Mikado.
Yes, of course, the Mikado. William Allingham's view of the Mikado. Dennis, back to Tennyson.
Come into the garden, Maud. For the blackbird night has flown. Come into the garden, Maud. I am here at the gate alone. I am here at the gate alone.
Yes. Frank's miming was perfect there. Dennis, can you tell me, please, what are wafted abroad?
Well, that's it, you see. One knows that bit. Isn't it extraordinary about that song? You know, they say that they used to be saying that you could make any English audience laugh by simply walking on a stage and saying, I am a married man. I think you can also make them laugh by simply walking on a stage and singing Come Into the Garden More.
Yeah,
It gets at something very deep within us, that phrase, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I don't know the lines after that. Is it that there's something about the musk of roses comes in somewhere there?
Yeah, it comes from Tennyson's Maud, which I thought you might know.
I know that, but I didn't know what was wafted abroad.
It's a plug for something I don't approve of. It's the Woodbine Spices.
Oh, I see.
The wafted abroad. Yeah. Anyway, you can afford to drop a mark. Mm-hmm. Does anyone here remember who used to sing a song that began, We're Rotten to the Core, Maud?
Yes, mm-hmm. Bee Lily.
Yes, Bee Lily it was. That's right. Loud music, suddenly in the silence of the night. Nothing could be more of a shock. In Exeter, Mr. Theo Saunders is the organist at the Church of St. Michael's and All Angels. He was in the church one dark night, collecting some books, when, I quote from the man himself, I looked up at the window and saw two men. One was clinging to the wire mesh outside. Clearly, he had to raise the alarm. Burglars were about. Did he shout? He did not. He switched on the organ, pulled out handfuls of fortissimo stops, and played as loudly as he could. Neighbours got the message, police arrived, and two men were soon helping police with their inquiries. Well, you've guessed it. What to play on such an occasion? What kind of music? Which piece? Which song?
I don't think I'd play a piece at all. I'd just put all the stops on and press my arms down and put my feet on as many notes as possible. Because whatever you played otherwise, you just think, oh, jolly old organist is having a go.
Yes, that's good, because they'd think he'd fainted onto the keys, wouldn't they, and the pedals. That's good, I like that. They'd send for the ambulance instead
of
the police.
Well, in other words, if they thought he'd fainted onto the keys, they'd do something about it.
Yes, quite. Frank, what would you have played in those circumstances, apart from The Fool, I suspect?
I think John's answer was rather good.
Yes, so do I.
I think he could play... So. Would you please, please help me, help me?
Please, yes. Because. Ian, have you had a thought?
Diapason's going.
Yes.
Being a church organist, probably a hymn would first come to his mind, but obviously he would have other things in his repertoire, so he might have put two things together and started to sort of alert people by playing a bit of O Come, Emmanuel, and then gone on with Somebody Stole My Bell.
Oh. Yes,
he'd play an involuntary.
Dennis, what would you have played?
Well, I think he might have drawn attention if he'd that Cilla Black song, Something Tells Me Something's Going to Happen Tonight.
Let's have some golden pre-oldies. Mm-hmm. John, for you, 25 seconds of earthy jazz dating from 1925. While it's on, see if you can dream up names for the cornet player and the drummer. Then we'll see whether you or fate has the wildest imagination. Like a name for the cornet player and the another.
Alf Flugelhorn.
Yes, and the drummer?
Swedish. Per Kuschen.
I will give you the mark. Despite the fact that I think fate was better, the cornetist was Sharky Bonanno, and the drummer was called Alonzo Crummy. Or perhaps Crumbly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the advantage of being Crummy. A quizmaster rather than on a team, isn't it?
You certainly have your mark. Frank, only 12 years later, this. But a lot had happened in popular music. It's a very good vocal group called the Merry Macs.
Oh, knew them.
Remember, in conversation with their band leader. Who was the band leader? That's the question. There's a big hint in the first line.
Come on, Ray, what do you say? We'll take a slumming.
Okay. I say, do let's go slumming, shall we? I think it'd be an awfully good idea. Go up Park Lane or that sort of thing. Park Avenue, you call it, of course.
Let us hide behind a pair of fancy glasses.
Glasses?
And make faces when a member of the classes.
What?
Pop.
That's better.
Let's go smelling.
Well, we got to find here is a band leader whose name was Ray.
Ray, yes.
Who was around the time of the... the Merry Max.
1937.
It should have been singing in the Rain, didn't it? And the... of a noble disposition,
yeah,
I would say
exactly.
He was.
Ray Noble it was, yes. Went to America and used his English accent to good effect there. Incidentally, the first trombonist in that band was Glenn Miller, sitting in the back there playing trombone.
That's a funny name.
Ian, Ray Noble's orchestra again, this time with a singer whom he took over with him from England. His name, please, the singer, and the title of the song.
When my best friend told her of another, I had no chance to deny. You know there has never been another. Someday she'll find out the lie. Maybe she's not to blame. But gone are those happy hours. No, don't move her favorite flowers.
Dinner for one, please, Jane.
And the singer?
Al Bowie.
Yes. Dennis, when Fanny Brice made this record, how old was I?
I was wearing neck in and head, checking in hollow, so that's why they call me neck in and roll.
Right. Well, now, when did she make it? Well, she sang it in the Ziegfeld Follies. Is that the relevant date? I mean, that's did she record right, it yes. at the same time?
She recorded it on the 8th of November.
Well, yeah, well, the year, I presume, you're after.
Same year.
Well, it was about 19... Yes. I would say the early part of the 20s, yes. So you'd be about 37, 38.
From the Ziegfeld Follies of 1921. Oh. So I was 7 months and 7 days when she recorded that on the 8th of November. So anyone in the audience, what's the date of my birthday? Pardon? Yes, 1st of April, that's right. Thank you, yes. John, you in your time have been music critic for a national newspaper, so give us your view on this unnamed pianist playing a Chopin nocturne.
Well, Dennis always expects me, if I'm in a music critic mood, to start with the word perhaps.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
Possibly.
Perhaps rather more erratic than erotic. Something like that.
I will accept that happily for a mark. Frank, in order to identify the pianist concerned, here is he or she in some Dvorak.
Last night, I had the strangest dream. I never dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war.
The pianist's name, Frank, please.
Well, the question he or she raises problems. And
you have to decide, you see. That's right.
It's Liberace.
Yes. Yes. Not Steve, but Lieb. Yes. Liberace. Ian, what is he playing here? And because it's so easy to identify, if not quite to enjoy, how long ago was it composed? Within, say, 110 years?
How do you like this coat?
How 110 years. I would say at that rate it must be about 18. No, yes. 110 years. Where are we?
Well, yes. within
1870.
Yes, that's right.
Three.
Well, four, five. Actually. Five. Absolutely. You must allow me to quote Liberace on the subject of Tchaikovsky. He said, "I play his melodies and skip his spiritual struggles. I know how many notes my audience will stand for. If there's time left over, I fill up with runs up and down the piano."
He's a very shrewd nut.
A very shrewd cookie, yes. Yeah. Dennis.
And I think that bit we were listening to is when the fountains start playing.
Yes. Yes. So, yes.
Dennis, he's a very good entertainer.
Well, so do I.
And
so
I love the way he takes the mickey out of himself.
Exactly. We all think that, of course.
He has my money.
But there is a sentimental side to Liberace as well. Also a playful, jocular, gamin side. He can make a musical joke, and just at a tricky moment, too. Listen. Moment to make
yes,
a joke there.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
The title of the tune.
Diddly dip, diddly dip. That one, yeah. Yeah. Nola.
Nola.
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
That wasn't Ziz Comfrey,
no,
was it?
No, it was.
No, no it, I can't remember.
No. Negative chap. Felix Arndt.
Arndt.
Arndt. Arndt. Yeah, anyway, it was Nola. You're right. Yeah. Nonsense songs, or nonsense sounds, anyway. John, what goes bumpity bump?
It goes
actually. It's the scherzo. It's the scherzo from Miaskovsky's Ninth Symphony.
That's it.
You know I can't deny that, but
yeah,
I do.
I do.
John, Frank can help, can't you?
As I go riding my charger.
No, that's bumpity bumpity bump. This is bumpity 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 bump. Different rhythm.
That's a different way of saying the same thing.
No,
I'm not.
No, this goes bumpity
bumpity bump. Oh, bumpity bumpity bump. It goes bumpity 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 bump. It's the heart.
Yes. Whose heart?
Ah, John.
Christopher Robbins?
It's the seventh.
God, goodness gracious, no.
Yes. Oh, it's Peter Sellers looking at
Sophia Loren. Yes, I can't wait any longer.
Peter
Sophia Loren's
partly blessed up.
Right. Frank, your question, who fed Fwim?
Fwim, said the mummy fish.
Yes,
Fwim, if you can.
If you can. They swam away over the dam. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ian, and this is almost 70 years ago, what go ting-a-ling-a-ling?
Oh, yes.
Goes,
it was a
go.
First war song, wasn't it?
Yes.
The bells of hell
go ting-a-ling-a-ling. That's right. Dennis, what go jingle, jangle, jingle? And to make it a little less easy, what message do they convey to a misogynist?
Well, so spur. I got spurs.
Yes.
That go jingle, jangle, jingle. But you're,
right.
You're rather making an assumption when you say misogynist, because that's assuming it's a man that's singing it. Because he says, aren't I glad I'm single?
Could just as well. Ain't you glad you're single?
Could
yes.
be Doris Day.
Yes.
Could be Doris Day, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yes. You won't expect a bonus mark because you're so far ahead already.
I don't do this for the marks.
Nothing in particular links our four closing songs this week, other than the fact that each one is sung by an acknowledged master in his field. Fields vary in size, of course. Really. Frank.
If they're that far ahead, can I concede?
No.
Get an early night, yeah.
No, we want to hear you sing That Certain Party.
Be careful of this, because it's got such a beautiful melody. I just want to
this
hear
one as
exactly
well.
Exactly right, yeah. Has she got naughty eyes? Yes, she has got naughty eyes. That certain party. You know the one I mean. Sure, you know the one I mean. That certain party, mine. Naughty eyes, turned up nose, rosy cheeks, pretty clothes. What a smutty. Has she got loving ways? Sure, she's got loving ways. That certain party of mine.
John, yours is a folk song from Italy, I believe.
Yes. Can I just clear the ground? Are there any Italians here? No, that's good. Because this is in a Neapolitan dialect. Perché quando mi vede son gripe come gatta non è che taccio fate God non me può veder, io t'ancio amata tanto, si t'amo tu non sai, io te voglio bene sai, e tu non pianza me, io te voglio bene sai, e tu non pianza me.
Distinctly Neapolitan, as Frank once said, I think, yeah.
A
song of equality. Why should the rich man have it all?
Working among the dustbins in a rich hotel, living upon the luxuries they throw away. Why should the rich man live in sweet repose while he's picking a chicken, I'm a-picking the parson's nose, singing a whoops-a-daisy down among the dustbins. One day I found a parcel rather small. It was a lady's nighty. Why should the rich man have it all?
Good
Another Neapolitan folk song.
Ian, finally, with a real scorcher, the old turf fire.
This is an Irish folk song.
Oh, the old turf fire and the hearth swept clean. There is no one half so happy as myself and Paddy Keane. With the baby in the cradle, you could hear her mammy say, "Wouldn't you go to sleep, Alanna, while I wet your daddy's tay?" Oh, I've got a little house and a tiny bit of land. You would never see a better on the side of Knocknacran. I've no piano in the corner and no picture on the wall, but I'm somehow quite contented in me little marble hall. Oh, the old turf fire and the hearth swept clean. There is no one half so happy as myself and Paddy Keane. With the baby in the cradle, you could hear her mammy say, "Wouldn't you go to sleep, Alanna, while I wet your daddy's tay?"
And Ian's song brings us to the end of another edition of My Music. The victors this week, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.